Yeah, you gotta watch out for those false women. Where that came from, I do not know. Maybe I need new eyes. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Today's gospel reading is part of the apocalyptic discourse found in St. Matthew's Gospel. Apocalyptic means things that are hidden. It also has come to refer to the end times. There are two chapters in this discourse of Jesus's, chapters 24 and chapter 25. And today we read only a part of chapter 24. But in our pericope, our lesson for today, Jesus is not really talking about the end of the world. At the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus goes out, he departs from the temple, and his disciples come to him, and they're showing him all the magnificence of the temple. What magnificent buildings, what magnificent stones. And Jesus punctures a hole in their balloon. He said to them, "Do you see all these things? Well, I truly tell you, there shall not be one stone left here upon another. There shall not be one stone that shall not be thrown down." And the disciples ask him in response not one question, but two questions. Here's what they say as Jesus sits upon the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. They came to him privately and asked, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Question one, "And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Question two. And Jesus is answering question one throughout most of today's gospel reading. So we have to understand this to properly interpret this passage. I could go through and point out every little detail of this passage and explain it to you, but that would take more time than we have here today. But what Jesus is speaking of here is a great crisis in the history of the Jewish people. Jerusalem has been the center of their worship of God for 800 years, 900 years or more. The temple is in Jerusalem, the place where God met man in mercy, where animal sacrifices were offered up to God, where there was much shedding of blood. These things were commanded in the law of Moses. These sacrifices were a type of foreshadowing of that greater, final, ultimate sacrifice that Christ would make of his own body, his own blood, his own person when he went to the cross to bear the world's sins. In the Gospel of John, Jesus cleanses the temple in the early chapters. And his enemies, the temple officials and the Pharisees, say, "By what right do you do these things? Show us a sign that shows you have the authority to do these things." And Jesus says, "Tear down this temple and I will build it up in 3 days." They say, "What are you talking about? It's taken decades to build this temple and you can raise it up again in 3 days?" But John explains he was speaking of the temple of his body. For on the third day after his death, he was raised again in the body. And now it is Jesus where God meets man, where God meets sinful human beings in mercy, false women, false men, and false children, sinners, one and all, each and every one of us. If we need mercy, we know where it is to be found. In Christ Jesus, in His Word and sacraments. And as far as forgiveness, life, and salvation go, it is the only store around. Jesus speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem some 40 years after Jesus died, a generation in biblical time. Jerusalem was besieged by the Roman armies. It was a time of great suffering. Cannibalism occurred within the besieged city. Mothers eating their own children. Horrible to imagine. More horrible than anything we would ever want to see. Jesus warns the Christians here, when you see the Roman armies besieging Jerusalem, get out of there. Don't remain in Jerusalem. I know that you have always looked to the temple as the place of safety, the place where God extends His mercy, but it is no longer the place where you can find these things. Look to me. Get out of the city. Jerusalem and its temple are becoming defunct. Let the one who is on the housetop when the Roman armies show up not go down to take what is in his house. He might get captured, tortured, and slain. Let the one who is in the field not turn back to the city, to his house, and take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, it would be so much harder for them to flee from the doom that is coming upon Jerusalem. Pray that your flight may not be in winter, because winter in Palestine was the rainy season. And the creeks that would have to be forded would be swollen with water, and it would be very difficult to get across. Pray that your flight may not be on a Sabbath, because the law dictated that one could only travel so far on a Sabbath day and no further. And any who still tried to observe the ceremonial law may have their conscience pricked if they traveled farther than a Sabbath day's journey, and then they could be caught, captured, tortured, and killed. Jesus describes the destruction of Jerusalem in apocalyptic terms. He says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be." The sack and destruction of Jerusalem was famous in Roman times for the very horrors that Jesus was warning against. The Jewish historian Josephus described it in detail. Again, what a horror it was. And if those days, Jesus said, had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. You've heard that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, I don't know if that's true or not anymore. But in the ancient world, Rome had extended its dominion over almost the entirety of the Mediterranean world and even into England. What if Rome's history of conquest had not been cut short? Think of it in terms like this. What if the Allies had not beaten Germany and the Axis powers during World War II? What if Hitler's grandiose plan to overrun the entire earth and claim it as Germany's own had succeeded? What horrors would have occurred then? But God cut short the days that the Romans would conquer and would destroy. He did it for the sake of the elect, for his Christians, for those whom he had chosen. Okay, let's begin to look at the second question Jesus' disciples ask him. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Well, one of the things is false prophets and false Christs. Jesus says, if anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, so you would expect these things, so you would not be caught off guard. So that if you hear someone who seems very charismatic but is preaching and teaching falsely, you will not be deceived. There have always been false teachers and false prophets ever since the beginning of time. You could say the serpent in Genesis 3 was the first false prophet. False prophets exist today. They're in abundance. Turn on any TV station and you can find them at some hour of the day. They write popular books. They're featured on the radio, in magazines. How do you know a false prophet? By the word of God. By the word of Jesus. Jesus says in today's gospel, see, I have told you beforehand. We prayed and sang before this sermon, preserve your word, O Savior, to us this latter day. The church stands upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take away that foundation and the church falls into ruin. It collapses. It becomes a false church. God's word is our great heritage. God's word is an everlasting word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Christ's word shall never pass away. So you know the scriptures, know the confessions of our church. Know the creeds that you could recognize anyone who comes and preaches falsely. Don't look for Jesus in your heart. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. If they say, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out there expecting to meet him. Something like that happened shortly after Jesus' death. Where do you look for Jesus? Where can we confidently say, in this present life, he is here? It's a hidden way. It's a way that escapes the notice of many. It's a place that is perceived by faith. Jesus is right where the Holy Spirit has put him, in our midst, for we are his body. We are members of his body. Jesus is right where he promises to be. For indeed, he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is present among us in his body and in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. He's present here proclaiming his word to us so we can stand firm in the midst of life's tribulations and sorrows. Jerusalem was going to fall, and great was the fall thereof. Human civilizations collapse and disappear, fade away into the annals of time. It happened with Jerusalem. It happened with Rome. It happened with Alexander the Great Empire. Great's empire. It has happened throughout history. And every time a culture collapses, it is naturally a disturbing thing. We are citizens of the United States of America. We have a stake in this country. We fulfill our responsibilities and duties as citizens of this country. We vote, we pay taxes, but beware of so closely linking the kingdom of God with the United States of America that they would rise and fall together. You see, Christ's kingdom is everlasting. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are citizens of heaven, made citizens of heaven in holy baptism. We eat and drink Christ's body and blood as his own dear people. When Moses saw the rampant idolatry the children of Israel had fallen into, he took the golden calf that they had made, and he burned it, and he ground it into powder, and he sprinkled it upon the water, and the people had to drink it down as a judgment upon their sin. But there is a greater sacrifice, dear people of God, for you when you fall into idolatry. And I know none of us ever bow down before a graven image and worship it. But any time we put something, any earthly thing, any human being before Jesus Christ and his word and his gospel, we have become idolaters. So, Christ is the victor. In a world where kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, in a world where cultures ascend and then decay, Christ remains for his people. Again, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It shall never pass away. And those who are citizens of his kingdom are kept in his care, kept in his nurture. When trouble arises, when sorrows come, when you face difficulties that seem insurmountable, flee to Jesus. Flee to Christ as he is present for you in his word and in his sacraments. And know that one day when he returns, it shall be as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west. And all people shall see him then as he is, not in the inner room, not in the wilderness, but as King of kings and Lord of lords. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.